Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
If you're like me and suffer from insomnia, you know what? That's not fun. You know, I tried everything. I couldn't get a good night's sleep. And this is neither drug nor alcohol induced. That's right. It is MyPillow. Mike Lindell invented it, and he fitted me for my first MyPillow, and it's changed my life. I fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and the good news, you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code Sean, and take advantage of one of Mike Lindell's best offers, his special four-pack. You get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, no risk to you, and a 10-year warranty. You don't want to spend more sleepless nights on a pillow tossing and turning that's not working for you. Just go to MyPillow.com right now. Use the promo code Sean, and you get Mike Lindell's special four-pack. You get two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows, 50% off, and you'll start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep you've been craving and deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Sean. All right, glad you're with us, and write down our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of this extravaganza. By the way, a report out today, Washington Times, that the president is standing by ready to pull out of this horrific Obama deal with the mullahs in Iran sometime next month. Bob Corker said as much today as well. And that's when they loaded $150 billion in cash and other currencies and multiple planes, cargo planes, and gave it to the mullahs of Iran with the dumbest, worst deal in the history of mankind. So that is good news, although I doubt they'll be handing the money back anytime soon at all. I want to just say a lot of what you're going to hear in the next 2 hours on this program, you will have heard me talk about in many different ways, shapes, matters, and forms. We have been so far ahead of not only the mainstream media, but basically all these people that claim that they're journalists, all these people that spent over a year and a half now, Trump, Russia, collusion. And we play our montage constantly. No evidence, no evidence, no evidence, no evidence, no evidence, no evidence, no evidence. I don't know what's worse, that or the, you know, P-tape montage we put together, or Anderson Cooper's creepy questions to Stormy montage together, or 195 times in one day, fake news, CNN saying, again and again and again. I have told you at the beginning of this year that this was going to be the year of the boomerang. Everything we've been telling you is now become fact. And it's now everything that, but we were just way ahead of everybody else, and there's a lag factor. And unfortunately, it takes about a year before people begin to catch up. So the fact that you're ahead of the curve, I think it's me doing my job to the best of my ability. And I think it's vitally important if we're going to remain a constitutional republic with equal justice under the law, with equal application of our laws. And there has been so much wrongdoing. Well, finally, now Congress, they're very slow, pathetically slow. The media is going to resist doing their job, as always, because they're nothing but an extension of all things Clinton, all things liberal, all things Democratic Party, and frankly, now even all things special counsel Robert Mueller. I start with the House has now issued criminal referrals for James Comey, for Andrew McCabe, for Loretta Lynch, for Peter Strzok, and for Lisa Page, and for Hillary Clinton. I'll give you a quick summary here, then we're going to get into all the details in all of this. Two powerful letters have been sent out today. One was sent out by Ron DeSantis and a group of other people, and another one has been sent out by Trey Gowdy and Mark Meadows of the Freedom Caucus. But anyway, what it all has to do, they want and are asking the Attorney General and the Department of Justice of the United States to launch a full-blown investigation into the possible crimes that were committed by the former disgraced FBI director. I do agree with Newt Gingrich, who will join us later in the program. Comey is now physically shrinking with every interview. I mean, literally racing from Stephanopoulos to Colbert to The View. You know, what's next? I mean, it's just ridiculous, this so-called book tour. Even liberals now hate him. Anyway, back to the point here. And that's not all. Andrew McCabe, Loretta Lynch, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, Hillary Clinton, they're all being referred to today for a criminal investigation as part of the same request to the Justice Department. Now, the letter issued by Congressman Ron DeSantis around noon today, 11 other members of the House are requesting this probe. And a few, I'll give you a few of the highlights. Dear Attorney General Sessions, Director Ray, and Mr. Huber, that's the guy from Salt Lake City, we write to refer the following individuals for investigation of potential violation of federal statutes. And in doing so, we are especially mindful of the dissimilar degrees of zealousness that has marked the investigation into former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and the presidential campaign of Donald Trump, respectively, because we believe that those in positions of high authority should be treated the same as every other American. We want to be sure that the potential violations of law outlined below are vetted appropriately. I mean, this, when there's a criminal referral made, the Justice Department has to act. Now, they start with, and I think we should start here with the actual letter. You know, I should go over the congressmen, too, that have signed on to this. You've got Ron DeSantis, Andy Biggs, Dave Brat, Jeff Duncan, Matt Gaetz, Paul Gozer. Let me see. Claudia Tenney of New York. Ted Yoho is also a member. Andy Harris. And I don't remember the other ones. Anyway, just off the top of my head. They start with Comey. When Comey was on The View today, he hadn't heard the news. And, you know, people were giggling. This is what I warned James Comey would likely happen to him. I said, any lawyer that lets this guy write this book and do this book tour is out of their mind, even though it basically was a total rehash of the, what, three times that he met with Donald Trump. And he just tried to, you know, build those up into something bigger than they were. And then, you know, his admission that he still doesn't know the dossier, whether it's accurate or not, it could be true, could be true. Well, that dossier was presented as the bulk of evidence to acquire a FISA warrant against the American citizen, a Trump campaign associate, in the weeks before an election, and they presented information they never verified, never corroborated, a lot of which has turned out to be false, and they never told the judge in the original application, the three subsequent applications, that in fact it was paid for by Hillary Clinton. You don't do that in a court of law. And they all let that happen. And he still doesn't know if it's true. Anyway, back to the DeSantis letter. Again, this is sent to Jeff Sessions, John Huber, and Christopher Wray. On July 5th, 2016, Comey made a statement on the investigation of Secretary Hillary Clinton's use of personal email system, during which he stated there is evidence that they were extremely careless in the handling of very sensitive, highly classified information. And we now know, by the way, that foreign entities got a hold of it and hacked into it. He went on to say, although there is evidence of potential violations of the statutes regarding the handling of classified information, our judgment is that no responsible prosecutor would bring such a case. This was that infamous James Comey press conference. Incredibly, this judgment appears to have been made prior to interviewing Secretary Clinton and as many as 17 key witnesses, including Clinton's closest aides. And Comey's decision not to seek charges against Clinton's misconduct suggests improper investigative conduct, potentially motivated by a political agenda. Accordingly, we refer James Comey to the Department of Justice for a violation of 18 U.S. Code 1505 and 1515B. In addition to his handling of the Clinton investigation, Comey engaged in questionable conduct vis-a-vis President Donald Trump. As reported by the New York Times, Director Comey wrote a memorandum detailing alleged conversations between himself and President Trump, creating a paper trail for documenting what he perceived as the president's improper efforts to influence a continuing investigation. The article reports that Comey created similar memos, including some that are classified, about every phone call and every meeting he had with the president. As detailed in the January 3rd, 2018 letter to the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, from Honorable Senator Charles Grassley, Chairman of the Senate Committee of the Judiciary, The staff reviewed the memorandum created by the former director Comey in a sensitive compartmented information facility due to the classified nature of the majority of the memos. And of the seven memos, four were marked secret or confidential levels. Now, at a June 8, 2017 U.S. Select Committee on Intelligence hearing, Comey stated, "I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with the reporter." Now, Chairman Grassley's aforementioned letter further notes the professor, this guy from Columbia School of Law, was a friend of Comey, provided him with four of the seven memorandum, encouraging him to detail the memos to the press. In light of the fact that four of the seven memos were classified, it would appear that the former director of the FBI, James Comey, leaked classified information when sharing these memos with this Professor Richmond. Accordingly, we refer James Comey to the Department of Justice for potential criminal violations 18 U.S.C. 641, 18 U.S.C. 793, 18 U.S.C. 1924A. Furthermore, this letter goes on, this referral for criminal investigation, a criminal referral. Furthermore, President Trump has raised concerns with the former Director Comey misleading Congress under oath on his decision not to charge the former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton regarding the use of her private email server for official government communications. As reported in the Washington Post, May 2nd, 2017, Comey circulated a draft statement of the decision. Comey sends an email to Andrew McCabe, his deputy, James A. Baker, the FBI general counsel, James Rabicki, his chief of staff, with a subject heading of mid-year exam. This was an internal FBI code for the Clinton investigations. The body of the email was redacted by the FBI, but it appears to have contained a draft of his statement on the conclusion of the Clinton case. This is May. They hadn't interviewed her yet. At that point, 17 interviews with potential witnesses had not taken place, including with Clinton and her chief of staff, according to the Senate Judiciary Committee. Furthermore, on September 28, 2016, a hearing before the House Judiciary Committee, former Director Comey replied, quote, "After following Representative Ratcliffe's questions on the timing of Comey's decision, Director, did you make the decision not to recommend criminal charges relating to classified information before or after Hillary Clinton was interviewed by the FBI on July 2nd? And finally, in an April 28, 2017 letter to the director, Grassley stated, "There appears to be material inconsistencies between the description of the FBI's relationship with Mr. Steele that you, James Comey, did provide in your briefing and information contained in Justice Department documents made available to the committee only after the briefing. Accordingly, we refer James Comey to the Department of Justice for potential violations 18 U.S.C. 1621, 18 U.S.C. 100, 1001. Then it goes on to lay out the case for Hillary, of which I am going to bring up. Now, people have in the media attacked me so viciously because we, while they have been gone overboard without any evidence on Trump-Russia collusion, what have we been doing? We've been pointing out real crimes, real collusion, real cover-up, a real fix being in, a rigged investigation, real Russian propaganda being manipulated and sold to the American people, lies to FISA judges, and much more. I'm going to explain more when we get back. This is a big deal. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show. So, if you're just joining us, a major development here today as we now have a criminal referral letter for Comey, McCabe, Lynch, Strunk, Page, and Hillary Clinton and others. And the letter is devastating. From Ron DeSantis, 11 other congressmen. Then we have a second letter that we're going to get into as well. So I just told you the case that he laid out in his letter about James Comey. And I warned James Comey. He has a right to remain silent. I suggest don't write the book. Don't let yourself be put in the position. I knew this was going to happen to James Comey. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure this out. And now I would guarantee you this means he has legal problems and he should be getting a lawyer as quickly as possible. Then it goes on to number two, Hillary Clinton. A lawyer representing the Clinton campaign, the DNC, paid Washington firm Fusion GPS to conduct research that led to the Steele dossier, according to an October 24, 2017 report in the Washington Post. Accordingly, for disguising payments to Fusion GPS on mandatory disclosures to the FEC, we refer Hillary Clinton to the Department of Justice for a potential violation of the law 52 USC 30121, 52 USC 30101. Next, they bring up Loretta Lynch. With regard to the former Attorney General Loretta Lynch, we raise concerns regarding her decision to threaten with reprisal the former FBI informant, this guy that we had the only cable TV interview with, who tried to come forward in 2016 with insight into the Uranium One deal. Remember, he was the FBI informant that was in there 16 years. Well, 30 plus years as an agent. Anyway, accordingly, we refer Loretta Lynch to the Department of Justice for potential violations, meaning crimes, 18 U.S.C. 1505. And 18 U.S.C. 1515B. And then they lay out the case against Andrew McCabe and then Strzok and Page. And then it goes on from there. And then we've got a second letter that was sent, a criminal referral letter that was sent to the Attorney General today. The question now is, what will the Attorney General do? He has an obligation now to investigate this fully and completely.
You must read to your children, and you must hug your children, and you must love your children. Your success as a family, our success as a society, depends not on what happens in the White House, but on what happens inside your house.
We lost Barbara Bush yesterday. You know, I got to know her, and I've known the Bush family for a long time. Obviously, I've interviewed President 41, 43 a number of times, and I've met her. I've been around her. Let me just say one thing, and maybe it's so far worse than I think it ever was during either of the Bush years. But Barbara Bush was somebody that just was always having a smile on her face, always happy, very funny, very strong personally, and she served her country. And literally, 4 years, 8 years as vice president with her and being the second lady, being married to the vice president, the first lady when George Herbert Walker Bush was president, being the mother of the president, George W. Bush. It's not easy being in the public eye. It's not easy. I mean, I could read you things that I saw that are so despicable on Twitter, but I'm not going to go there. But anybody that serves their country in that capacity for that period of time and has the good nature and humor that she has, it's an incredible example to all of us. And I know that the family is saddened by their loss. Our thoughts and prayers go out to them. It really was an honor for me to get to know her. She knew who I was. She watched the show. I remember she just was a very special woman with incredible qualities and strength that a lot of people don't have. And we just put her in our thoughts and prayers today. All right, as we continue, now we have two reports out today. And somebody wrote me, Hannity, this is amazing because it sounds a lot like what you've been telling us for a year, and is it finally going to happen? And I said, yeah, it's happening. Now you have, in the case of Ron DeSantis, who I think will be an excellent Florida governor. I hope the people of Florida are smart to understand that this guy is one of the few people that really believes in public service. And part of the Freedom Caucus, of course, those are the guys that I trust most in Congress. Then there's another letter from Gowdy and Mark Meadows. I'll get into their letter, and it's a little different ways. And then we're going to get analysis coming up at the top of the next hour that you're definitely not going to want to miss as we check in. Well, Newt Gingrich is going to join us among our guests, but we'll also be checking in with Sarah Carter, and Congressman DeSantis will join us too. But anyway, so it's a criminal referral for James Comey, for Andrew McCabe, for Loretta Lynch, for Strzok, for Page, and not least of all, Hillary Clinton. In other words, this is a congressional criminal referral for a criminal investigation with a list of specific violations of the law being laid out to the Attorney General of the United States and the Department of Justice of the United States. And the letter was sent to the Attorney General Jeff Sessions, the FBI Director Wray, this guy that was appointed, Mr. Huber, that's out in Salt Lake City. And it goes through every single example. And this is everything and more that we have been telling people has happened. A lot of people, I was watching, maybe it was Jim Jordan. I saw a clip on from Jim Jordan, I guess, went on conspiracy TV. Don't answer the question with Hillary Clinton. And I'm thinking, well, it's applicable. And the reason it's so applicable is because when we don't have equal justice under the law, and the idea that we can have an American citizen, whether they're running for president, whether they was a senator and first lady or not, that they somehow think that they can circumvent congressional oversight and put top secret, classified, and the top level of security, special access programming information on a server in a mom and pop shop bathroom because they don't want Congress to have any access to their emails. Well, that's a violation of 18 U.S.C. 793, mishandling of classified information. There's a 99.9% chance at least 5 to 6 foreign intelligence agencies hacked into that bathroom closet server with the top secrets of the United States. That compromises sources and methods. That is extraordinarily dangerous for people to get that information. You know, people say, well, where did WikiLeaks get it from? I interviewed Julian Assange. He said, well, it wasn't Russian. It wasn't a state, etc. Well, it could have been anybody, which is the point, because it was put in a mom and pop shop bathroom closet. And there are bad actors. I'm sure Putin is probably one of the people that hacked into it and has it. Oh, no, all the talk about, Donald Trump may be compromised. Really, if Putin had something on Trump, we would have known about it by now, because Putin is apoplectic over Trump and what he did with Syria. And that's only one example. And the sanctions he's put on Russia. So he's taken all the actions that Obama would never take, that Putin didn't want to have happen. And yet we haven't had the smoking gun come out. But you have a hostile actor, Putin, a hostile regime, Russia. You have the Chinese, you have the North Koreans, you have the Iranians. You know, pick your poison where this all came from. I don't know. But it's certainly she created the vulnerability. So it goes through great detail about the FBI director, which I just read in the last hour. We'll summarize it when at the top of the next hour when we check in with Congressman DeSantis. And then we went into Hillary Clinton herself. Then we just covered Loretta Lynch, the attorney general. Now he goes into in this letter, these congressmen go into in their criminal referral, the former acting director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe. And it goes on to say, with regard to the former acting director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe, as reported by the New York Times, the attorney general, Jeff Sessions, has said that during the internal Hillary Clinton investigation, that Mr. McCabe lacked candor, including under oath, on multiple occasions. The report goes on to say that that is a fireable offense, and Mr. Sessions said that career apolitical employees at the FBI and the Justice Department agreed that McCabe should be fired. And furthermore, the Department of Justice Office of Inspector General recently released a February 2018 misconduct report. And quote, it's called a report of investigation of certain allegations relating to former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, confirming 4 instances of McCabe's lack of candor, including 3 instances under oath, as well as the conclusion that McCabe's decision to confirm the existence of the Clinton Foundation investigation through an anonymously sourced, quote, violated the FBI and DOJ's media policy and constituted misconduct. Accordingly, we refer Andrew McCabe for potential violations, 18 U.S.C. 1001, 18 U.S.C. 1621, 18 U.S.C. 1505. These are specific criminal referrals. Now, you got to understand something here. This is the story that the media never, ever wanted to be public. This is where it's sort of like the vetting of Obama years, where here we are at the top of a tree, out on a limb and hanging by a twig with the rest of the media ignoring the glaring background and associations of Barack Obama. Acorn, Alinsky disciple, Frank Marshall Davis, the Church of GD America, Reverend Wright, Ayers and Dorn, former domestic terrorist, starting his camp, all of that they never took a deep dive into. But yet they were critical of me for doing the job they should have done if they cared about being, quote, journalists with a capital J, like they compare. We do more journalism than they in a week than these people do in 5 years. They're pathetic. And the same is with this. What we're talking about is the biggest abuse of power ever to investigation in the history of the country. And finally, now Congress, fed up that they have not appointed a second special counsel, they are now making these criminal referrals. That means that action must be taken. You often hear attorney generals, well, we didn't get a referral on. Now they've got their referral. It continues, the DeSantis letter. Number five, FBI agent Peter Strzok, FBI counsel Lisa Page. With regard to top counterintelligence FBI agent Peter Strzok, the guy that interviewed both Flynn and Hillary Clinton, and senior FBI lawyer, Andrew McCabe's lawyer, Lisa Page. You remember the text messaging. We need an insurance plan. We raise concern regarding their interference in the Hillary Clinton investigation regarding her use of a personal email server. As the Wall Street Journal reported January 22, 2018, following the Justice Department's second release of text exchanges between Strzok and Page, it goes on to say the latest text showed the FBI was also eliminated evidence that Mrs. Clinton compromised high-level communications. Now, the report provides the following alarming specifics. Among others, Mr. Strzok texts Ms. Page to tell her that, in fact, senior officials had decided to water down the reference to President Obama to make it another senior government official. By the time Mr. Comey gave his public statement on July 5th, both references to Obama and another senior government official had totally disappeared. And accordingly, it goes on, we refer Peter Strzok and Lisa Page for potential violations of 18 U.S.C. 1505 and 15B. Then it goes on, number six, the Department of Justice and the FBI personnel connected to the compilation of documents on alleged links between Russia and then presidential candidate Donald Trump, known as the Steele dossier, including but not limited to the former FBI director James Comey, former acting director FBI Andrew McCabe, former acting attorney general Sally Yates, and former acting deputy attorney general Dana Buente is her name. And with regard to the Steele dossier, we raise concerns regarding the presentation of false or unverified information to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court in connection with former Trump campaign aide Carter Page's warrant application to conduct surveillance through the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. As Devin Nunes, the chairman of the House Intel Committee, states in a March 1, 2018 letter to the Attorney General Jeff Sessions, former and current DOJ and FBI leadership have confirmed to the committee that unverified information from the Steele dossier comprised an essential part of the FISA application related to Carter Page. Accordingly, we refer to the DOJ, all DOJ FBI personnel responsible for signing the Carter Page warrant application that contained unverified and or false information for possible violation of 18 U.S.C. 242, 18 U.S.C. 1505, and 18 U.S.C. 1515B. Thank you for your attention to these matters. And then Ron DeSantis will join us at the top of the hour, and 10 other congressmen sign on to it. Then we have a letter to Rod Rosenstein and also the Inspector General Horowitz, Jeff Sessions, and Christopher Wray, the FBI director. Now, this is from, you know, dear Chairman Gowdy goes on to say, anyway, in their letter, because I don't have enough time, It goes on to say documents produced to the committee raise concerns that Director Comey potentially misled the public related to the level of coordination between the Department of Justice and FBI on at least two occasions. The first is July 5, 2016 statement regarding the FBI's view that there were no charges appropriate in the Clinton case. The second, the statement before the committee July 7, no coordination occurred. For example, the text exchange between Strzok and Page. Strzok, holy cow, New York Times breaking. We'll accept whatever received career prosecutors make. No political input. And then Strzok says, Lynch, timing not great, but wonder if that's why the no coordination language was added. Wow. Pretty revealing. Page says, no way. This is a purposeful leak following the airplane snafu. Meaning meeting Bill Clinton and the tarmac in Phoenix. And then it goes on. Timing looks like hell. Will appear choreographed. All major news networks literally leading with AG to accept FBI director's recommendation. Page, yeah, it's awful timing. Nothing we can do about it. Strzok, what I meant was, that did the DOJ tell us yesterday that we're doing this? So the director added that language? Strzok, yep, I told Bill the same thing. Delaying just makes it worse. And yes, I think we had some warning of it. I know they sent some statement. Well, that would appear to be coordination. By the way, there have been so many others. This is not something that we did alone here, but there have been others that have worked so hard to help get to this point where now the truth is coming out and an investigation is now forthcoming. And that, to me, is the big deal. And when we come back, Ron DeSantis, who sent this criminal referral letter, and Sarah Carter, who's done amazing work, join us next.
I have in front of me a letter that was drafted by 11 House Republicans. They've sent this letter to the Department of Justice and the FBI.
Yeah.
They are requesting a criminal investigation of you, Director Comey, as well as Hillary Clinton, Loretta Lynch, Andrew McCabe, FBI agents Peter Strzok and FBI counsel Lisa Page. And it appears that they are alleging potential violations of the law regarding the Clinton and Trump investigation. They're arguing that your decision not to seek charges against Clinton for her use of a private email server suggests an improper investigative conduct, potentially motivated by a political agenda. And they are also saying that you leaked classified information. And they refer to the 7 memos you wrote about your conversations with the president. How do you respond?
I'm sorry.
I don't do a lot of shrugging today, but yeah.
I haven't read it. I don't know what to make of it. It seems they've been saying that stuff since the Clinton email investigation. A whole lot of that's already being looked at by the Inspector General at the Department of Justice, which is a very good thing. And I don't have any other reaction.
Okay.
The accusations are not true. I guess I should have said that first.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
All right, glad you're with us. Hour two, Sean Hannity Show. Write down our toll-free telephone number. It's 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. That was Andrew McCabe, and I guess people thinking it's funny. There's nothing funny about what I just read, which is this letter from Congressman Ron DeSantis to the Attorney General Jeff Sessions, to Christopher Wray, the FBI director, and the Honorable John Huber of the United States Attorney for the District of Utah has been brought in by Sessions because these are criminal referrals against the FBI director himself, against Hillary Clinton, against, let's see, the Attorney General, former Attorney General Loretta Lynch, against former Deputy Director of the FBI Andrew McCabe, FBI agents Strzok and Page, and it goes on from there. I read the whole referral. Congressman Ron DeSantis joins us right now. It's great to have him on the program, his first interview over this referral. And also joining us, she's written an extensive report on this today, Sarah Carter, sarahacarter.com, investigative journalist. Welcome both of you. Congressman, all of the things that you mentioned, and I read it in its entirety on the air in the last hour, and these criminal referrals, this is all real stuff here. And the Attorney General, the FBI director, now have an obligation, do they not?
Well, Sean, think about it. We know Comey, before the Congress, said, when asked by one of my colleagues, you know, did you decide to exonerate Hillary before the interview? And he said, no, it was after. Well, then what happened since then is that we've gotten documents that showed he drafted the exoneration memo 2 months before he interviewed her and many other key witnesses. Chuck Grassley has written about the information that Comey has provided to his committee being inconsistent with the facts that they've discovered subsequent relating to the FBI's relationship with Christopher Steele. And of course, Comey was never forthright about the political sources of the dossier. And then the memos, Grassley himself found this. 7 memos, 4 had classified information, and Comey leaked 4 of the 7. So that means at least one of the memos had to have had classified information. That was an intentional leak. That wasn't just a mistake. And so, you know, at some point, Sean, if there's anyone who even sneezes in Donald Trump's orbit, you know, you have the whole special counsel co-swooping in to try to find whatever they can. But you have these instances, and it's almost like nobody even cares to hold some of the people in high authority accountable. And I just want an equal zealousness applied to everybody. And we don't see that now. And so hopefully this orients Huber and Sessions to some of the things we found in the Congress over the last, you know, 6 to 8 months. And let them investigate and see what they can come up with.
You know, it's also why we oppose special counsels and why both parties actually allowed the independent counsel statute to lapse. You know, we have an investigation supposedly about Russian collusion. Now it's about Stormy in private conversations and attorneys. It is outrageous. Anyway, Sarah, this is very important. How does this dovetail into the Inspector General report that we expect to come any day or week now as it relates to the investigation into Hillary?
I think it does right into it. It moves right along with it. We have, and it's an important letter because as Congressman DeSantis said, you know, there, you have this overzealousness, this anything that happens with President Trump or with anybody in his campaign all of a sudden becomes the story of the decade. Even Stormy Daniels, I mean, it's incredible. But here you have insurmountable evidence, right, that all of this has occurred between former FBI Director James Comey. We see what's happened with Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, former Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, who was fired by the Inspector General, and we've seen his report and the reasons why. We know that he lied under oath. We know that he has been extraordinarily biased based on text messages between his own employees. There's still a number of questions remaining, and I think that when Inspector General Horowitz his next report comes out, which is expected in May, and it's going to focus on the FBI's handling of the investigation into the Clinton Foundation, we are going to see, into the Clinton email, her use of a private server to send emails.
But we know laws were broken here. And there's nobody that's ever, and that's 18 U.S.C. 793, and that's the mishandling and destruction of classified information. Even Comey is acknowledging it. And then the second part of all of that is, okay, I dare anyone to delete 33,000 subpoenaed emails, acid wash your hard drive, and then bust up your devices and not get charged with obstruction of justice. Good luck.
Yeah, could you imagine doing that, Sean? Could you imagine if they came to your house to gather information and you had broken it and set it on fire and left it in the backyard, you would go to jail.
Oh,
that's another problem, though, Sean, is that they bleach bit the server. Those emails were under congressional subpoena. And it isn't even that nobody was ever charged with it. Of course, no one was ever charged. I don't even think the FBI even pursued it as a potential obstruction. So here we have this double standard where Comey is saying Donald Trump allegedly saying to him, I hope you can let Flynn go, is potential obstruction. But bleach bidding a server that's under congressional subpoena is no one even considers looking into that. That's just a double standard that I think is irreconcilable.
Yeah, I think it's all right. Let me go to this part. And you raised this as point 6 in your letter that the Department of Justice, FBI personnel, any connected with the compilation of documents, alleged links between Russia and then presidential candidate Donald Trump, known as the Steele dossier, including and not limited to Comey, McCabe, Sally Yates, and others. You know, this is what we know at this point. We know that the dossier was never corroborated. I think the biggest development, and I said it's a dumb idea for James Comey, A, to write a book, and B, what lawyer would let him do these interviews, because he said to George Stephanopoulos, well, it might be true. It's possible it's true about the, you know, the hooker story. The problem with that is that dossier, which was put together by a foreign national that used Russian and Russian government sources, much of which has been debunked, none of which has been proven. It was never verified or corroborated. And he and others allowed that dossier to be presented in the original FISA application to spy on an American citizen, a Trump campaign associate, then three subsequent renewals. It was, according to the Grassley-Graham memo, the bulk of the information to obtain the FISA warrant. And they never corroborated, they never verified, and they never told any of these FISA judges in these warrants that Hillary bought and paid for it. Now, Congressman, you tell me, that sounds like a crime and purposely deceiving judges.
And think about, too, what Comey's saying now. He's saying, look, he's trying to de-emphasize the dossier. He's like, look, it wasn't the dossier. It was Papadopoulos. We got this tip, and so we started it. Then ask yourself if that's the case. If it was all Papadopoulos, which was sometime in the summer of 2016, why did they not interview Papadopoulos until the following year? They never brought him in to interview him if that was such an important thing. Instead, it was the dossier that was packaged up, all dressed up as an intelligence document and put in front of the FISA court. Now, in the letter, we mention Hillary Clinton potentially violating Federal Election Commission rules because when she expended all this money for the dossier, she put it as to a payment to a law firm, Perkins Coie. There's no mention on the FEC.
By the way, doesn't that sound like a campaign violation, the very thing they're accusing Michael Cohen of?
Right.
Doesn't that sound like
exactly
funneling money?
So absolutely, the question is, if Cohen's is an FEC violation for paying a potential private settlement, then how is camouflaging this money? Because think about it, Sean. If they had written on their FEC report $10 million for Fusion GPS and Christopher Steele, the FBI would not have been able to then use it as a, quote, intelligence document. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would have been public knowledge that this thing was an opposition research document. So that FEC filing really did, by camouflaging the payment, it allowed FBI to continue mm-hmm. with the fiction that this was some type of major intelligence thing when it was really just dressed up opposition research.
Congressman DeSantis, I want to give you many thanks. The work you've done here is critical. Sarah Carter, you too, and guys like Greg Jarrett and Tom Fitton and Sebastian Gorka, I'm not going to remember John Solomon, everybody that's contributed. It was March of last year when you said there was a FISA warrant leading up to the election. And you were right, and nobody in the media covered it, as you've been right on many of these stories. This seems to be everything that, as I use the analogy of unpeeling layers of an onion, it now seems to have come full circle here. And that is that now we have the evidence, now we know what happened, and now it's just a matter of if the law will be applied equally to these people, Sarah.
It sure is, Sean, and the American people are watching. They're watching intensely, and Congress is doing everything to fight for these documents and to ensure that justice is served equally. I think what Congressman DeSantis, Chairman Nunes and others, Trey Gowdy, Goodlatte, everybody has been fighting tooth and nail for these documents from the DOJ and the FBI, which are withholding these documents from us. But I think that eventually all the documentation will come forth. I think another big issue here, Sean, and one that we need to really focus on is this disinformation campaign. You know, it's amazing how many of these people say we should fear Russia and what Russia did with their disinformation campaign. Well, it's, you know, people like Comey and Brennan and Clapper and others who have taken a dossier filled with disinformation that they have not been able to verify and continuously hammered at the President of the United States for the last 15 months. If anybody has a disinformation campaign or if anybody is being unwittingly used by the Russians, it's them. And that's something that we should all be concerned about.
Yeah, I think we really should. All right. So I'll tell you what, why don't we take a break and we'll come back. What we're going to do on TV tonight, Sarah will join us, Ron DeSantis will join us. We're actually going to lay this out and put it up visually so you understand just how profound this letter is that he is, this criminal referral that he has laid out. There's also another criminal referral by Mark Meadows and Trey Gowdy. We'll have that information for you as well, which we've been getting to. So, Linda, you'll get a kick out of this before we get back to our guest. So the Washington Post now wants to write the 50th story about me. And what is Hannity? Is he an opinion journalist? Is he an advocacy? I'm a talk show host. And a talk show, sometimes, Linda, do we do straight news interviews?
Like we do all kinds of interviews.
All right, so a straight interview. Sometimes we break news on this program. We actually break more news than the so-called journalists. Sometimes I give my opinion in a monologue. Sometimes I let people debate. Sometimes I debate people. It's under the banner of a talk show host. Yes, at times I do straight up, fair, balanced, objective interviews, journalistic interviews.
Maybe you should ask WAPA what they are.
Exactly.
Inquiring minds want to know.
All right, we continue with Sarah Carter and Ron DeSantis. All right, what is the process? And have you heard back, Congressman, from Jeff Sessions or Chris Wray or John Hoover?
We have not. We just sent it today. I thought it was important. Huber is, he's not a special counsel per se, but he is a criminal prosecutor who would have access to a grand jury, and that is who Sessions tapped. And whether he is authorized to proceed with cases or whether he's supposed to be investigating and then reporting to Sessions, whether cases should go forward under a special counsel, that hasn't been made clear. But I just thought it was important to flag all the things that we in the Congress have found, and obviously you've been discussing for a long time now, so that he can actually look and make judgments about these things. I mean, clearly there's a lot of problematic conduct here, but he's got to look to see if there's a case there and then decide whether to go forward. But look, I think for us to just hope that that people are going to do the right thing, I think what we found is, you know, you got to take action, you got to demonstrate leadership, because it's not just going to happen by itself.
You know, you have a lot of contacts, Sarah, in the Department of Justice. What are they telling you?
Oh, look, this is like he said, this is the beginning. I'm waiting to hear back from sources in the Department of Justice on this. What I am hearing, though, is with regard to Huber and his work. I mean, remember, he's been on this since the fall. He has been looking into this. That's when he was first appointed to start looking into some of the situations that were involving the investigation into the Clinton server email situation, as well as the FBI's handling of that, as well as other issues that involved McCabe. So at the same time, we have the Inspector General getting ready to issue reports on Hillary Clinton and the handling of the FBI into that investigation, as well as the FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court issues. We know Huber's been working as well, looking at all of the angles, and I have been told that there will definitely be an indictment, and that there have been they've been looking at some
of many
some
people
that we would consider criminal. Yes, of people that have already been mentioned and people within this.
All right.
Yeah,
Ron DeSantis, Sarah referral. Carter, we're going to do a deep dive into this criminal referral, this breaking news tonight on Hannity at 9. Thank you both.
Said the name Sean Hannity.
How did he say it? Was it like Sean Hannity? Sean Hannity.
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 Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity.
Hannity. Hannity. Hannity. Hannity.
Hannity.
Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
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 Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
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 Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
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 Sean 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 Hannity.
This is CNN, the most trusted name in news.
Good evening. Where to begin?
I'm Wolf Blitzer. You're in the Situation Room.
And good evening. Out front tonight.
Welcome to The Lead. I'm Jake Tapper. We begin with breaking news.
Golden showers thing.
About pee-pee.
The golden showers thing.
Pee tape of prostitutes that Trump had paid to urinate on each other and his bed in a Russian hotel suite. The golden showers thing. Pee on each other.
Urinate in a hotel suite.
I see it differently. Look, I thought we were going to talk about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP. Instead, we talk about pee-pee. I mean, I can't believe this.
No. But you didn't.
I had to say that, Allison.
Talk about the prostitutes. Pee tapes. Golden showers.
The golden showers.
Mr. Trump and Russian prostitutes.
Between him and prostitutes in a luxury hotel.
Golden showers. There's no way I would let people pee on each other around me. Golden showers. Hookers.
We're talking about
prostitutes peeing in a hotel room in Moscow. I don't know whether the current president of the United States was with prostitutes peeing on each other in Moscow in 2013.
There's the FBI director talking about prostitutes peeing on each other in Moscow.
This is CNN, the most trusted name in news.
Is there a difference if the president said, hole or house?
Do you think these countries are holes?
Donald Trump has turned the Oval Office into a hole.
Holers built this country 110 years ago.
In addition to the president's comments yesterday, a few more.
Whole countries.
Whole country.
Rich, do you have any example of any whole country that the president referred to that is predominantly Caucasian?
Holers.
Holes.
Holers. I work for holers.
I'm proud to be a holer.
I never in a million years thought I would be saying hole on television.
This is CNN.
All right, there you have it. That is, yes, your news networks in America, the fake news networks. Hannity, 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 P-tape, 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 and the Shull network 195 times in a single day. You can't make this up. And it is now what represents news media in the country today. All right, anyway, 23 now until the top of the hour, and Kaylee McEnany is with us. Her new book, of course, The New American Revolution, The Making of a Populist Movement. Jeffrey Lord, he wrote the book, What America Needs, The Case for Trump. And welcome both of you back to the program. Jeff Lord, I thought I heard giggling on the other side of that line.
I just want to say this so that I don't feel left out. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Sean Hannity.
It's... It is a little bit of an obsessive compulsion. You know what the strangest thing? It doesn't matter that I explained everything 1,000% truthfully. It doesn't matter. They just, this wild, reckless, insane speculation is so over the top. I mean, and then I think about, okay, that's like 2 days of coverage of me, and that's what the president gets every single solitary day, and that's what's supposed to represent news today, Kaylee.
It's really incredible, Sean. I mean, look, let's be honest. CNN is in a desperate search for ratings. They're down 30% from last year. None of their shows make it into the top 20. Many of Fox's do, seven. Yours near the top, always at the top, I should say. You know, they need ratings. So how do they do it? By saying golden showers over and over again. Not sure if they said that or Sean Hannity more, or that profane word, which I'm proud of Fox for not saying on their airwaves. But it's a desperate search for ratings. If it's not 8-on-1 panels, it's gossipy, salacious headlines, and it's infuriating. It's infuriating to the president. It's infuriating to half of the country that showed up to support him.
Yeah, and both of you had this unique experience, and I've watched both of you going through it. You mentioned the 8-to-1 panels. What you mean are 8 Democrats to either one Republican, one conservative, either Kaylee if she was on, or Jeff Lord when you worked there when you were on.
Yeah, they'll do anything for ratings except, of course, have us back.
Yeah, exactly.
There are some things they're just not going to stoop to. But, you know, Sean, seriously, there's something here that needs to be said. I've done something that hopefully we'll see print soon. This business with you and Michael Cohen, Washington, D.C., and the media, it built entirely on relationships. I mean, I lived there for a long time. These people associate. They go to one another's homes for dinner. They do this, that, and the other thing. And let me just pick one example. Chuck Todd from NBC, who came out the other day and took a shot at you. Well, I've gone back and found just one example of this, a February of 2017 interview he does with former senator from Virginia, Jim Webb.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty vanilla. There really wasn't much to talk about, but yet he's on there to talk about his politics and, oh, he's going to return to journalism, all this kind of thing. What was never said, I read the transcript and I watched the videotape. Chuck Todd's wife was the former communications director for his Senate campaign and was advising him in his presidential campaign. There was not a single solitary word about this. Not only that, she was a donor to Tim Kaine, and when Chuck Todd interviews Tim Kaine, not a word. Not only that, Newsbusters reported, and I dug this up, reported that she had made her firm, had consulting firm, had made all kinds of money from the Bernie Sanders campaign. On that same show with Jim Webb, separately, was Bernie Sanders. Not a word of it.
Yeah.
This
well,
is the most unbelievably
And he was one of the
things.
Most sanctimonious people, and I've said this on the air a lot. I mean, these people, they hang out with each other. They go to lunch with each other. They go to dinner with each other. They date each other. They do all sorts of things with each other. And it's always, it's like a good old boys club. And the press and all of these congressional members, staffers, everybody, they're all like in this circle together. So many of them are a part of it. And if you're not part of the circle, you're the most hated person there. And that is the dirty, untold truth. And yeah, there are a lot of media people, as I pointed out yesterday, and we put up on our website, Hannity.com. They're not revealing their relationships with prominent liberal Democrats. They never have, never do. And I, you know, all of us, all three of us are honest in as much as we tell people, okay, we're conservative. We like Donald Trump. We want lower taxes, less regulation, and we want a strong military, and we want to build the wall. We're pretty transparent, Kaylee.
We are transparent, but, you know, let's be real. There are two standards here. You know, if you're Sean Hannity, if you're a conservative, you have to disclose every conversation you have ever had with anyone. If you are a Democratic liberal journalist who is, you know, really a lockstep liberal lemon disguising themselves as a neutral journalist, you're not expected to do any of that. You can go to Hillary Clinton's off-the-record dinner where John Podesta cooked a pasta with walnuts for members of the New York Times and Washington Post, and you don't have to disclose you were there. You can donate to Hillary's campaign. We know that journalists combined donated about $382,000 to Hillary Clinton. You don't have to disclose if you donated to Hillary. You can silently have these relationships, silently support liberal causes. You went through any number of them yesterday on your show, and you don't have to disclose it. There's two standards in this country. Conservatives are held to the stricter one.
You know,
and Sean, I'll make a little prediction for you.
Yeah.
You watch. The White House Correspondents' Dinner is coming up. I've been the last couple of years. Needless to say, my invitation seems to be lost in the mail this year. But the president is going to be in Michigan, as he was here in Pennsylvania last year for this dinner. And they're going to make a big deal about free speech and the First Amendment. I'll bet you a name that is never going to be mentioned is Laura Ingraham. I'll bet you a name that's never going to be mentioned is Sean Hannity. I'll bet you they will never, hell will freeze over before they will, A, talk about this subject, but B, talk about people in the conservative media who have been targeted to be taken off the air. They're not going to do it.
This is now an industry that is extremely well-funded, that you have people, I mean, it's hard to imagine that their entire job is to monitor every word, every sentence, every phrase, every hour of any conservative that's on radio or television, in the hopes that they say one thing that is deemed politically incorrect or doesn't fit their worldview or narrative. And then, you know, in come the boycotts, which is nothing short but an attempt by the left to silence opposition voices. It is well funded, it is well orchestrated, and it is used as a weapon to silence speech. And all of us have experienced it, including you, Jeff, obviously, and Kaylee as well.
No doubt about it. I mean, look, Sean, these people, they care about the First Amendment. They scream it from the rooftops. They say, how dare this president try to silence us, the high nobility of this country, the journalists. But if you are conservative, it is not the same. They will try to silence you, and it makes them insanely jealous, Sean, when you are consistently the number one show in cable news. It makes them so jealous when they try to take down Laura Ingraham and her ratings skyrocket in response. It makes them insanely jealous. They cannot tolerate it. They cannot stomach it. They cannot understand it.
You know, I couldn't be any more clear either. You know, if what I said was not true, and it is true, that Michael Cohen never represented me in any case or matter, that I didn't, he never got a retaining fee. I didn't retain him. I never got an invoice from him. I never paid any money or legal fees to him, but occasionally, he's a smart lawyer, knows real estate. We would have discussions that were attorney-client because I said, I want to ask you a legal question about this or that, and that's it. And it didn't involve any third party, third party.
The thing that really irritates me about this, if these people would take the time, I certainly do, to listen to your radio show 3 hours a day, they would know that you have mentioned countless times on air, long before any of this, that Michael Cohen was a friend of yours.
Yep.
And anybody who has a lick of horse sense and has friends who are professionals, lawyers, doctors, dentists, you name it, inevitably has a conversation saying, gee, you know, I want to ask you about X. I mean, I've done that kind of thing my entire life. I'm not alone. Everybody does this. To make something out of this, some sort of scandal, when it's right there and you have been saying it repeatedly, is, I mean, it is this utter.
Well, it sounds
hypocrisy.
To me like he wanted to be thorough and mention anybody that had, during a discussion, you know, said, hey, I want to, let's have attorney-client
right.
privilege. That's it.
Right. And for that, they make all of this. I mean,
it's unbelievable.
It is mind-boggling.
Well, I mean, then this is the world we're now living in. And you notice there's never any good news that is ever discussed in this country anymore. You know, it doesn't matter. All right, we have a chance of perhaps having the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. China capitulated on trade and intellectual property rights. The economy is booming. Economic growth. We now have projections that, you know, deficits are going to be down dramatically, trillions of dollars, because the Trump tax cuts are now kicking in. You know, there's so many good things out there that are possible. But yet it's Trump, Russia, 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 or it's Stormy, 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 or it's whatever the distraction they have for the day. The whole network will say it 195 times, but they don't inform the American people about any news. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Stay right there. Kayleigh McEnany is with us. Jeff Lord is with us. As we continue, Kayleigh McEnany is with us, as well as Jeff Lord. Where is the... What do you think conservatives should do to respond to the never-ending attempts to silence them with boycotts? Because I guess the obvious answer would be fight fire with fire. You know, should conservatives begin, you know, doing the same thing, monitoring every liberal show, every newspaper, and do the same thing back? The problem with that is I don't believe in boycotts. Jeff.
Yeah, I don't believe in them either. I don't like them. But I do think there has to be an element of fight fire with fire. And the first thing that occurs is the donors. Who are these donors? I mean, what got me dismissed from CNN was that I called attention to the anti-Semitic ravings of Media Matters as per Alan Dershowitz. I mean, this was not something I made up. Alan Dershowitz went out of his way to say that these people were anti-Semitic, and he wanted the Obama White House to disassociate themselves from them, which they didn't do for whatever reason. And there are other examples here. But these people have to be called out, and I would start thinking about who are the donors and what do the donors do? And let's take a good look at these donors and see if they really want to be associated with this stuff.
Yeah. What do you think, Kayleigh?
Yeah, I think we have to fight fire with fire. And one of the things I know I discuss often with my colleagues is these airport contracts. It's infuriating when you have to stand in an airport, you look up, you see CNN, and you inevitably see a chyron that's dishonest, that's not truthful, and that's clearly a partisan headline aimed directly at Donald Trump. You know, I think we need to be out there saying, why are airports not putting on half CNN, half Fox News? Why does CNN still have this contract? That's probably the only ratings they have left are these airport contracts. We need to take aim at this. It's not fair, especially for the casual observers of the news who only get the news when they're walking through the airport. We do need to take aim. I understand not liking boycotts, but it's time. It's time to stand up to them.
It'd be interesting to see how they react. All of a sudden, everyone will be, you know, spitting fire. This is outrageous. You're trying to silence liberal voices. How could this happen? This is America. And we'll be like, yeah, where were you back when this, and this happened? It'll be interesting to watch. All right, Kayleigh McEnany, thank you. Jeff Lord, thank you. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number if you want to be a part of the program. Our news roundup, information overload hour, is coming up at the top of the hour as we check in with former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich and much more straight ahead.
Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload
in the final hour of the Sean Hannity Show.
I have in front of me a letter that was drafted by 11 House Republicans. They've sent this letter to the Department of Justice and the FBI.
Yeah.
They are requesting a criminal investigation of you, Director Comey, as well as Hillary Clinton, Loretta Lynch, Andrew McCabe, FBI agents Peter Strzok and FBI counsel Lisa Page. And it appears that they are alleging potential violations of the law regarding the Clinton and Trump investigation. They're arguing that your decision not to seek charges against Clinton for her use of a private email server suggests an improper investigative conduct, potentially motivated by a political agenda. And they're also saying that you leaked classified information, and they refer to the 7 memos you wrote about your conversations with the president. How do you respond?
I'm sorry to
I know I'm doing a lot of shrugging today, but yeah. I, I,
I haven't read it. I don't know what to make of it. It seems they've been saying that stuff since the Clinton email investigation. A whole lot of that's already being looked at by the Inspector General at the Department of Justice, which is a very good thing. And I don't have any other reaction.
Okay.
The accusations are not true. I guess I should have said that first. Yeah. But that's okay.
All right, that was James Comey. You hear the giggling. There's nothing funny about what has happened today. You got a dozen Republican members of Congress sending a criminal referral to the Justice Department and the FBI seeking an investigation of not only James Comey, but his deputy Andrew McCabe, the ex-attorney general Loretta Lynch, and Hillary Clinton in connection with the 2016 campaign controversies. Jeff Sessions already announced last month he had assigned a federal prosecutor now to review some of these broader issues. Ron DeSantis and 10 other lawmakers want the investigation into violations from everything in the handling of the Clinton email probe to the anti-Trump dossier, the funding of the Uranium One, all of which we have broken down repeatedly. Now, by the way, they named Comey, Clinton, Lynch, McCabe, Strzok, and Page as other figures that also need to be investigated. And simultaneously, we also have the House issued a criminal referral for Comey to the Justice Department and all these other people, and they named the specific crime. So you got this all going on at once. Joining us now, former Speaker of the House, News Roundup Information Overload Hour, by the way. You have former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. The only thing that's frustrating in all of this, because this is, we have laid out every law that was broken, every bit of evidence that is available. This is not like the Russia investigation where, well, there's smoke but no fire. And we know for a fact laws were broken. And we know for a fact that this was handled in a way that is totally unorthodox by James Comey and Trump-hating agents like Strzok and Page.
Well, look, I mean, first of all, Ron DeSantis deserves a lot of credit for having taken the lead in putting this together and getting this number of members of Congress that makes it, I think, pretty darn serious. But second, this is long overdue. The objective fact is that by any reasonable standard, James Comey broke the law in a variety of ways. By any reasonable standard, Secretary Clinton and her staff broke the law in an amazing number of ways. The Inspector General's report on Andrew McCabe basically outlines precisely parallel to what they ultimately went after General Flynn for. And the difference is, of course, that because McCabe is on the left, you don't suddenly see some chanting that they ought to put him in jail, which is what poor General Flynn, after 35 years of serving America, got. I just look at what they have put together in this letter, which I'm personally going to send out to all folks on Twitter. I have about, 2.1 million Twitter followers. I'm going to actually send the letter itself. So they can just read for themselves what these members of Congress have sent to the Attorney General and to the Director of the FBI and to the U.S. Attorney for Utah, who'd been brought in by Attorney General Sessions. This is really serious stuff, I think.
When you actually get into the letter, they did such a thorough job, and I'm talking about the DeSantis letter. You know, he goes point by point, and he points out about Director Comey, what he said July 5th. Remember, Hillary wasn't interviewed until that July 4th weekend, but Peter Strzok and James Comey were involved in beginning the drafting. They were drafting the exoneration of Hillary in May. Hillary had never been interviewed, nor were 17 other witnesses interviewed. Have you ever heard of exoneration letters being written before investigations? And Peter Strzok, who hates Donald Trump, was he the right guy to interview Hillary Clinton?
Look, the whole Hillary Clinton thing is absurd. One of her aides, who was actually herself the subject of an investigation, is allowed to play the role of attorney with attorney-client privilege during the interview. Now, this is a person who herself is subject to investigation. So every single thing that you see them throw at President Trump and at his team was done to such an extraordinary degree by the Clinton team. And yet every effort was made to avoid it and to hide from it and to not be serious about it. And then you learn that Director Comey's wife and daughter were at the march the day after the Trump inauguration, were passionately committed to Hillary. You learn that Deputy Director McCabe's wife had gotten $700,000 or $800,000 in donations as a Democratic candidate for the Senate. And we're supposed to believe that there's no bias, there's no one-sided abuse of the law. It really is just astonishing.
You know, but it goes into very specific details here as it relates to Comey, and it seems like this investigation is real. One of the things that I've been pointing out, I said at the beginning of the year, this is going to be the year of the boomerang, and that is that everything they've been accusing Donald Trump of seems to be backfiring on the Democrats. Then we have the whole issue of the dossier, Mr. Speaker, and this was the most remarkable thing, and I did see your comments about the former FBI director saying he's physically shrinking with every interview. And I kind of agree with that characterization. But when he admitted to George Stephanopoulos that he didn't know if the dossier was true, it's possible is what his comments were. The Grassley Graham memo told us that the bulk of information that made up the FISA application to spy on an American, a campaign associate of Trump in the lead up to the election, was that dossier. And he is saying today he doesn't know if it was true or not true. Now, a lot of it has been debunked. Now, here's the problem they have. That information was presented to a FISA court judge in Andrew McCabe had said without the dossier, there wouldn't have even been a FISA application. It was never verified, never corroborated, and they never told the judge in the original application or three subsequent applications that Hillary paid for it and that it was a foreign national, Christopher Steele, who got Russian sources as the means of putting that together. Does that sound like collusion with Russia and that using Russian lies to win an election? Because it does to me.
I know. You know, it's very ironic that if you were going to have an investigation into Russian collusion and into Russian money, you would have had the investigation aimed at Bill Clinton, who got $500,000 from a Russian bank. It would have been aimed at the Clinton Foundation that got many millions of dollars. It would have been aimed at Hillary Clinton, who made a decision to give the Russians access to American uranium. I mean, you go down the list, and then you say to yourself, so how did they manage to turn this so that we're looking literally at a reverse of reality? And I think that the entire nature of the documentary fits that. The document, the Steele document. And then, of course, Comey, who clearly understands if you don't know something, it's doubtful. Since I can't disprove it, it might be true. It's crazy.
Is that now the new standard in the American justice system? You know, one of the things I kept saying, that a lot of this has to do with equal application under the law. We can't have a dual system of justice, one for the Clintons and one for everybody else here. And I've got to be honest, I'm looking at all of this. And then, you know, did you ever in all of your years as Speaker, all of your years in Congress, all of your years watching investigations take place, did you ever see that they were writing the exoneration part months before the interview part and the investigation part?
No, and of course the whole thing's absurd. First of all, I have to say to yourself, explain the staff person who was physically destroying your laptops with a hammer. Explain the bleach bit part. I mean, you go down the list, and if you actually look at her answers to the news media, they were insultingly dishonest. You know, and I mean, literally, you can go back and take when she was asked about these activities, she was insultingly dishonest. And then you have to ask the question, I just saw an FBI agent, ex-agent, was found guilty, I think, in Minnesota, of having actually taken documents home that were classified. Well, how many documents did Hillary Clinton take home and Huma Abedin take home that were classified in their computers? An amazing number. How can you literally eliminate 33,000 emails while you're under investigation and not be held? We don't talk about obstruction of justice. You know, how about eliminating 33,000 emails during an investigation? Sounds a lot like obstruction to me.
Yeah, it sounds like obstruction to me, too. All right, so now Congress is going to make this move. What does the Attorney General have to do in this case at this point, now that a referral has been made?
I think he has got to ask professionals, probably starting with the designated U.S. attorney from Utah, who's apparently a pretty straight arrow. He's got to say, is there a legitimate fact in this letter about each of these people? And if so, do we need to open criminal proceedings? And I think clearly in McCabe's case, the Inspector General's report sets that up and gives you pretty good evidence. In the case of Comey, you take the various and sundry things he said where he contradicted himself in sworn testimony, and you go down the whole list of things. And there is a giant convoy of illegality that follows Comey. And if you then added to that the various things he has said in these various interviews, I mean, this is a guy who's just wildly out of control.
You know, I predicted that no good lawyer would have allowed him to write this book and go on a book tour. I think I'm being proven correct here. I want to talk a little bit about the media, and you have dealt with this your entire life and career, and I remember watching everything you went through during your years as Speaker of the House, and the media is so, so abusively biased now. I don't think I've ever seen it this bad, and how you think the president should react. By the way, people are signing up for your course. How do they sign up for it?
Well, they go to defendingamericacourse.com.
Okay.
We're getting all sorts of reactions. You know, people realize that our civilization's at risk and that so many young people really don't get taught anymore in school about America. So defendingamericacourse.com is doing very well, both online and through a DVD, and I think it's an important project to try to help educate a generation of Americans.
All right, we put it up on Hannity.com. Also, you can find it on my Twitter account, at Sean Hannity. What should the president do as he is under a daily assault by, he has a special counsel sitting there appointing, you know, really bad, corrupt people, in my view, and compromised people, and they keep rolling along and expanding their mandate. And then you've got all of these other crimes that have been overlooked up until today. And then you have the media that is basically the extension of the special counsel's office and the Democratic Party's office. What should the president do to deal with all that?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing to do is to recognize that these people are his mortal opponents. These are not news people. These are people who are desperately committed to the left. They were desperately committed to Hillary Clinton. They'll do anything they can to destroy him. I said yesterday, when word came out that Pompeo, CIA director and nominee to be Secretary of State, Pompeo had gone to North Korea to talk directly to Kim Jong-un and try to create a summit that would work, I said, you know, if Trump ended up actually pulling off this extraordinary moment and got North Korea to agree to disarm, the New York Times coverage would be that Kim Jong-un, in a moment of great statesmanship, despite Donald Trump, agreed to do the right thing. But the idea that they would actually recognize what extraordinary leadership we're having is almost impossible because they literally hate him so much. And I think that's just a reality. So I think he's got two or three different challenges. I think on the legal front, they ought to do two things. One is they ought to stick to the facts. I just wrote a piece that will be in The Hill tomorrow saying, you know, read the Rosenstein memo. Read the Inspector General report. You know, don't take my word for it or your word for it. Every citizen in the country, and I think the Republican National Committee should literally email to everybody they have an email address for, a copy of both of those. When you read what Rob Rosenstein said in that memo to the president, when he concludes at the very end, you could never rebuild the FBI as an institution that was respected as long as Comey stayed there.
Now, unbelievable.
It's definitive, and frankly, one of the mistakes that President Trump made was when he got that memo, he should have simply released the entire memo to the country, said how shocked he was.
Mm-hmm.
Let the weekend television deal with the memo, and then fire Comey.
Mm-hmm.
As it was, he fired Comey without the rest of us having read the memo. Similarly, when you look at McCabe, and you read the Inspector General report on McCabe, you realize if General Flynn was guilty of anything, McCabe is guilty of the same thing. If they're going to prosecute General Flynn, they have an absolute obligation to prosecute McCabe. I mean, there is no distinction. You have an Inspector General report that says he lied under oath, and he lied when he wasn't under oath, and he did so for personal reasons. And it's not just firing him. I mean, this is a guy who, if we're going to have a country in which the rule of law means anything, at a minimum,
You're right.
You know, then he should be treated exactly like General Flynn was.
All right, Mr. Speaker, thank you for being with us. This course is up on Hannity.com, 800-941-SEAN, our toll-free telephone number. The move towards energy independence, everything we've ever wanted, is now done. I'll explain next.
We've ended the war on American energy. We were in war. And we've ended the war on beautiful, clean coal, one of our great natural resources. and very important for our defense, coal. Very important for our defense, because we have it. We don't have to send it through pipes. We don't have to get it from foreign countries. We have more than anybody. And they wanted to end it. And our miners have been mistreated, and they're not being mistreated anymore. We're doing tremendous business. I was in Vietnam, and the Prime Minister and the President of Vietnam were there. And we have a massive deficit with them like we do with everybody else because these presidents have just let it go to hell. We have the worst trade deals you've ever seen. So we're changing it. So I said, we have too big a deficit with Vietnam. I'm not happy. He said, well, but we're going to... I said, buy coal. Buy coal. They use a lot of coal. Buy coal. And he said, you know, we have bought coal from West Virginia and other places, and it's the finest coal we've ever used. It's interesting. And West Virginia now is doing great. You look at what's happening in West Virginia. You look at what's happening in Pennsylvania. You look at what's happening in Ohio. And you look at what's happening in Wyoming. You look at what's happening all over. It's like a different world. And remember this. Virtually as soon as I got into office, we approved the Keystone XL pipeline and the Dakota Access pipelines, which would never have been approved. And we announced our withdrawal from the totally disastrous, job-killing, wealth-knocking-out, you know, it knocked out our wealth, or it would have. They basically wanted to take our wealth away. They didn't want us to use our wealth power. We knocked out the Paris Climate Accord. Would have been a disaster.
All right, that's the president. When you get the pipelines completed, you get rid of the burdensome regulation, the war against energy, the Obama-era regulations. You open up ANWR, you expand coal mining and fracking in the country. Well, it's something we have been advocating on this program literally for years, and there are so many benefits. Number one, you get high-paying jobs for millions of Americans. Those are the people in Ohio, in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, around the country that will be building the pipelines, involved in natural gas production, involved in transportation, involved in every aspect of the oil and gas and coal industries in this country. You put coal miners back to work in West Virginia and elsewhere. Hillary was going to put them out of work. And then you get the added benefit is we're no longer dependent in any way, shape, manner, or form on countries that hate our guts for the lifeblood of our economy, which is energy. Well, you'd think we would have done this a long time ago, but again, it's sort of like Jerusalem becoming the capital of Israel. I guess you need a president that has a lot of guts. Yossi Hollander is with us. He is the co-founder of the Fuel Freedom Foundation, also the founder and the chairman of Our Energy Policy Foundation. They're dedicated to creating an open dialogue and agreement on U.S. energy policy. Our old friend, he hasn't been on in a long time, John Hoffmeister, is with us. Remember, he made the movie Pump. He's a former CEO of Shell Oil and founder of Citizens for an Affordable Energy. That's the other thing. The more we produce, the lower prices are going to be. And you even see the Saudis now. They're now trying to transition their economy. They see what's happening in America. They know the resources we have, and they know that we won't need their oil much longer. John Hoffmeister, you and I discussed this so many times. This is pretty much everything on the list that we wanted in terms of energy production in the country. I don't think anything's missing here.
I think we need to stay on this course, Sean. This is a good course, good for America, good for jobs. And don't forget, with all of the emphasis on natural gas, it's also good for the environment because it is. We are at 92 levels of emissions in the atmosphere because of natural gas. And I think and if we can get natural gas fuels of ethanol, methanol, LNG, CNG, as we've talked about years ago, then we're really on our way to not having to import any oil whatsoever.
I mean, think about that. How many jobs are we talking about? Because remember when Newt Gingrich started drill here, drill now, save money. And then we were working with companies and getting people jobs. You know, people were going from making $35,000 a year to $100,000 a year or more in North Dakota. But then we had this artificial drop in prices. I believe it was done on purpose to drive American companies out of business. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think there's more to it than just that. There was a lot of Saudi Arabia trying to really take aim at Iran's economy and Russia's economy because they were just the hegemony in the Middle East has been a big problem for Saudi Arabia, who's our friend. Russia and Iran, not so much. And so I think the Saudis were trying to send a message to the Russians and the Iranians. I think the U.S. was in large measure collateral damage. But you asked how many jobs. I figured that there would be 3 million new jobs in America to eliminate imported oil.
I mean, that is, that, and of course, the greater production and more energy in the marketplace, supply and demand crisscrossing, dictating price. Well, if you produce more, naturally, at some point, it may not immediately, but prices are going to go down. And these are high-paying career jobs we're talking about. I mean, I know drivers that were driving in the oil fields were making over $100,000 a year. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. It is a great place to make money with good benefits. And you talk about that many people going to work. We're going to be training people, young people, to take on careers that are going to last decades and decades into the future.
Yeah. Yossi, what's your opinion on all of this, and how far will America go, and how much can be done to lock this all down for future generations?
Sean, according to Goldman Sachs, if we used our natural gas to replace the oil we still import, which is still 40%, because it's going to take a while to get it off it, but if we use natural gas to replace it, according to Goldman Sachs, it's worth between 0.4 to 0.8 of GDP growth a year. That is huge.
Mm-hmm.
If we get 10, 15 years of such additional growth to GDP, all from using our own resources and not sending the money to countries that hate us, I think it's that's the big next jump. If you ask what the president needs to do right now, open the market so the natural gas that we now produce in addition to our oil can replace the rest of the oil that we import.
Well, it's funny to watch Saudi Arabia, and the Crown Prince was here, and during one of his interviews, I think this one was on 60 Minutes, you know, saying that he's trying to transition the Saudi economy from being so oil energy dependent. I think he sees the handwriting is on the wall, and I think he sees that it's imperative for his country to have other industries. But if you look at America, John Hofmeister, we have more natural gas than like all of the oil that is in the Middle East and beyond. Isn't that true?
Just like coal, our natural gas resources are really, you know, the best in the world. And the technology we use to get it out of the ground is among the most productive in the world. And the ability to build the infrastructure is what's holding us up. The infrastructure needs public policy to make ethanol and methanol acceptable legal fuels for personal transportation. And then the infrastructure, whether it's pipelines or whether it is the manufacturing of ethanol and methanol from natural gas, for most cars in America can take this this product.
What you're saying is
pump was all about.
I know this for a fact because in the early 80s when I lived in Rhode Island, I had bought and purchased an old Providence Gas Company van that I used for my work van when I was a contractor. And they had converted it to run on natural gas and then converted it back to gasoline by the time I bought it. So this technology has been around forever.
Absolutely.
In other words, the combustion engine.
And so has the natural gas been around forever.
Yeah, and it's been sitting there, and we're so stupid we don't do anything with it.
I think part of the issue is also,
yeah,
if you look, for example, at Pennsylvania, the price of natural gas is so low because you can't get the gas out. But if you could put a manufacturing plant that will produce fuels from the natural gas in Pennsylvania and sell them just to the states around it, you'll double the price of natural gas in Pennsylvania. That will raise the price of coal as well. This is just good for every constituency that looked at this, that voted Trump and are actually thinking about their own, future jobs, salaries, everything.
You know, you got to look at what China just did, and not only on intellectual property rights, but now for American the American auto industry and reducing the tariffs, the burdensome tariffs they put on companies. Everybody in the media was predicting, oh, there's going to be a trade war. It doesn't look like a trade war. It looks like freer and fairer trade, which is what the president said he wanted in the beginning.
I agree 100%. I think, Sean, the whole business of trade, tariffs, et cetera, it's all about negotiating for fair trade among very important partners. China's economy and its size, the U.S. economy and its size. We don't need to go to war with one another, but we need to have a level playing field.
Yeah. What about the credits for car companies? How advantageous now that we move in this energy independence direction? What does it mean for the car companies, John?
Well, it's going to mean that the car companies can be sensible. The kind of standards that were being set, the CAFE standards, everybody knew back in 2010 and 2012 when we were moving towards these incredible CAFE standards, they would never be met. And fortunately, there were some smart people that put into the CAFE standard regulations an interim review period, which was taking place in 2016 and 17. And thank goodness, we now have the ability to extend into the future, you know, what the car companies are good at doing, and that is making very fuel-efficient cars, but not to some artificial standard that can't be met.
Yeah, well said. Yossi, we'll give you the last word.
I think Americans want bigger cars. You look, they even they want more SUVs and more Jeeps and more trucks, and they need them.
Mm-hmm.
And with the new
if they make them flex fuel options, then they get credits back, and that means more jobs at home.
Exactly, and as a result, you don't have to move the factories to Mexico. You can keep them all in Michigan.
Yeah, I don't think we need any more factories in Mexico. I want American factories for American workers and American jobs. And by the way, I have no problem with Mexico building their own factories and building their own products. But you know what? We have allowed and we have created such a disincentive for so many industries. You know, between burdensome regulation and taxation, we literally have pushed businesses out of the country, and it has hurt the American worker, the forgotten men and women, to levels that it has caused deep pain, suffering, and misery, and basically cut off the American dream for so many people. I want to thank you both for being with us. John Hofmeister, Yossi, thank you so much. Hollander, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it. 800-941-SEAN is our number. You want to be a part of the program. We've got, let's see, is it Lisa is in Wilmington, North Carolina. Lisa, how are you?
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm great. I've been having a tough time the last couple of weeks. Just I always think of your saying, let not your heart be troubled in the state of the country. And yesterday, I just wanted to let you know, I was tooling around on the different stations, and the number of people calling into different conservative shows like Will Cow or Rush calling in support of you, and so exasperated of what's going on. I just wanted to let you know that not just the conservative talk show host, but you have the American people behind you. It's just it's so disgusting.
Andrew's a great guy. Mark has been great. Rush has been great.
Yeah.
If we don't have these civil liberty protections, if we don't have them, I'm not trying to be cynical here. It's over. America as a constitutional republic is done, and especially the right to privacy, which everybody cherishes. I don't think there's one honest person in this country that when you hear that detail and you hear that they got a warrant, a FISA warrant, meaning your government spying on an American using false propaganda from a political operative and a foreign national and Russians, and they never tell the judge the truth. How is this not a crime? And if it's not going to be a crime, then that means basically we can be spied on any time of day or night by our government. And it's the end of liberty. It's the end of freedom as we know it. And it's that represents to me a police state. That's scary. Anyway, I do appreciate it, Lisa. Thank you so much. God bless you and all the people. Andrew is great. Everybody that has been so supportive. I can't even list all the names except to say thank you to everybody, including all of you that make the show possible every day and make TV possible every night. right, Hannity, tonight at 9 on the Fox News Channel. Now, we're going to go line by line, item by item, as it relates to this criminal referral. Now, Congressman DeSantis, Congressman Gates, they will join us. We'll get analysis from Greg Jarrett, Sarah Carter tonight, who has an incredible column. Also, we'll check in with Kellyanne Conway, Michelle Malkin, Ed Henry, and Larry Elder, and also Joe DiGenova. That's all happening. A criminal referral now sent to the Attorney General. All the details tonight on Hannity, 9 Eastern. Hope you'll join us. We'll see you back here tomorrow. See you tonight at 9.